Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 247-7282.
And we'd like to welcome Andrew Foster from Harvell & Collins into the studio. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. Doing well.
We're a week from Thanksgiving, but taxes don't take a holiday, do they, Andrew?
No, they don't. But they're going to take a little holiday today.
Good.
We're gonna have a little celebrity corner edition of the program.
I like that. Yeah.
So that's one of the ones where we see what we can learn from a celebrity's passing.
What they did right, what they did wrong.
What they did right, what they did wrong. That's exactly right. And today we have Chadwick Boseman. So people may not recognize that name, Chadwick Boseman.
No,
but if I mention the name Black Panther, superhero Black Panther, the Black Panther movie, if I mention Jackie Robinson in 42, Marshall, those films, all lead star was Chadwick Boseman. And Chadwick Boseman, he passed away in August, on August 28th, 2020, at the age of 43.
Passed early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
43 years old. So just a tragic story, there. He had battled pancreatic cancer for 4 years.
Wow.
And didn't inform the public. You know, that was a battle that he fought in private.
Yeah.
Which is very surprising, given the fact that he fought that battle in private, yet his affairs are now all public.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why?
He's dead.
He didn't have a will.
Ooh.
So Chadwick Boseman did not set up an estate plan, you know, did not handle his affairs relative to his estate. So a little surprise here, you know, one of the things you see, Mike, is you say, okay, well, he's 43 years old. So therefore, it's understandable that a 43-year-old might not have a will because they're thinking, hey, I'm going to live forever. I'm fine. I'm good to go. But given the fact that he had a terminal disease and given the fact that he is in Hollywood, he's surrounded by agents and lawyers and financial advisors and planners and everything else, you would think that, you know, he would have gotten around to drafting a last will and testament. He did not.
And you can't answer the question, but I'm going to ask you, why not? He's got that bevy of counsel. Why not?
Good question.
Sounds like an untapped potential for Harvell & Collins to get out to California there and find out the ones that are still alive that don't
have a
plan.
Well, you just wonder, you're like, you think, you know, a lot of times you get these stories after the fact when they interview, you know, agents and managers and things like that and say, I tried to get him to go. You know, you hear that a lot. But if no one tried to get him to go to see an estate planning attorney, just, you know, a big time opportunity lost. Cause here's the fact, Mike, is if you don't make a last will and testament, guess who decides where your property goes?
Court does.
The state.
Yeah.
The state, in this particular case, California. You know, if you're a North Carolina resident, North Carolina is going to decide where your property goes. Now, who knows if that's what you want? It could be that, and I'm going to go over what the split would be in Chadwick's estate. But the fact is that we have no idea sitting here today, you know, what his wishes would have been. And, you know, it turns out his wife, Simone, has filed to be the administrator of his estate in Los Angeles County, California, and has listed on the initial application $1 million of probate assets. So that is $1 million of assets that the state of California is going to determine where they go. Not Chadwick.
Not him.
Not him. He doesn't get to make that decision anymore. He lost the right to do that. So therefore, there's $1 million worth of assets out there that the state is going to have to divvy up. Now, this doesn't count. You know, he could have had other, what we call non-probate assets, Mike. He could have had some life insurance policies. He could have had some, you know, retirement accounts and things with designated beneficiaries. That all passes out to who he designated as his beneficiary. But $1 million worth of assets here, that's no small change that is going to get divided up.
Is that including property, perhaps?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In North Carolina, if you own real property in your name, with no, you know, no designation, not, not husband and wife, not joint with right of survivorship, if you own property in your name, or if you own a tenants in common ownership, meaning with multiple people, but no survivorship language in the deed, that's going to be governed by either your will, or in, if you don't have a will, the state.
The state. And when you say the state, are you saying the courts?
I'm saying the state of North Carolina is has passed statutes.
Yeah.
And they're called the intestate succession statutes.
I've heard that term before.
Yeah, yeah. So if you either die testate with a will or you die intestate without a will. And if you die intestate, then the state has basically promulgated statutes that say, if you don't have a will, this is how your estate goes. And in this particular case, if Chadwick Bozeman was a North Carolina resident, he'd be looking at his spouse getting the first $90,000 of assets. Hmm. And if a spouse exercised their right to file a year's allowance, an additional $60,000 of assets. So that's $150,000 off the top for a spouse. The remaining assets would be split 50-50 between the spouse and Chadwick's parents.
Hmm.
So that's an interesting take because a lot of people who are out there right now are going, wait a minute, Andrew, you said he has a spouse. He doesn't have any kids, by the way, so I kind of left that fact out. But he doesn't have any kids. So you said he had a spouse. How does the spouse not get it all? That's not what the state says. The state says if you're survived by your spouse and your parents in North Carolina, you split 50-50 after we after we get through the initial 90 and potential 60 if you file that year's allowance. So Chadwick's estate would go $575,000 to his wife Simone and $425,000 to his parents.
Yeah.
That's the split. That's what the state says. That, once again, I reiterate this fact. That's not what Chadwick said. And he didn't exercise his opportunity to really say where he wanted his assets to go, unfortunately. And so, you know, what are the take home points here, you know, from this tragic situation?
Make sure you treat your in-laws right when your spouse is still alive. That's my takeaway.
Yeah, there's one right there, Mike. You bring up a good point. You know, obviously none of us want to think about dying.
Mm-hmm.
We never want that to be first on our mind. But, you know, I hope our listeners who are hearing this right now see that if you don't think about it and don't plan, you leave things to chance. Now, what are the ramifications of this? Well, Chadwick's parents and Chadwick's spouse are going to have to get along and split this estate according to what the state of California says. And that's the end of the story right there with relative to that. The other thing is that, you know, Chadwick was a private person. Obviously, he kept this terminal disease private and did not tell the public that he had this pancreatic cancer diagnosis. Yet here he is in death with a very public proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could have had a revocable trust in place where we wouldn't know what his estate plan was other than tell you he has a trust document and that's what's going to govern where the disposition of his assets go. And we don't know where they're going to end up at the end of the day. So it seems like he's the kind of person. We mentioned this with Prince before, how he liked to handle his affairs appropriately. Same thing, you know, where we would assume that given the private nature of his life, he would want to have privacy in death. And guess what? Didn't come to fruition.
Not at all. Yeah, we just wonder how people get themselves into these situations. And he was a successful actor.
Oh yeah.
And like you said, he had a group around him, agents and attorneys. Why they would never take the time? And let's tell the listeners too that if they're in a situation, not necessarily they're actors and they don't have this in place, but we're alive today and we have assets, but we don't have this plan in place.
Exactly.
How long does it take for someone to call Andrew Foster, set up an appointment at Hervell and Collins? And get this rolling. How long does that take?
2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Process.
And I know
from initial appointment to your signing documents.
And I can hear Cecil Harvell on my shoulder here and Wes Collins on my other one. What is the cost of all of this? Just in rough, I mean, not numbers, but it's minimal.
Yeah, minimal.
I mean, minimal.
Exactly. You're not talking about anything that's crazy. Now we tailor make your estate plan. So we make sure that you get what you need.
Yeah.
So obviously what we do is most of the time what I'm doing, Mike, is going over options. Okay, here you go. Here's the simple plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's a plan maybe for a revocable trust that offers more privacy. Here's a plan for asset protection. So we go over, you know, here are some options for you and you can decide what level of planning you want to have. But you know, I had a client in my office, who actually inherited some property from her sister and then she had the real property now in her name and had some small bank accounts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And her sister was her last living relative, so to speak. And, she, you know, and I looked at her and I said, we got to get a will done for you. And she said, what? And she said, she goes, I don't really have anything. And I said, you got a piece of real property and you got some money. You got a car.
Yeah, you got
I
stuff.
Was like, you got stuff.
Yeah.
And she said, she goes, well, that was my last living relative. I don't care. And I said, do you really not care? Do you want the state to determine where that's going to go? And if no one does anything, the state of North Carolina gets your property at the end of the day. If no one exercises their rights to have that, it is sheets to the state is what it's called. You know, and that really changed her mind, because at that point in time, she said, yeah, Andrew, you're right. I'd much rather have a church, a charity.
Yeah, her school.
Anything where you get to choose where that property goes. So even if you're sitting out there going, well, I really don't have any family, or I don't have anyone that I really want my assets to go, or heck, I don't even care. When I die, it's gone, and wherever it goes, it goes.
Yeah.
You know, those are kind of the wrong mentality to take, Mike, because it's a simple process to go ahead and get your planning put in place so you don't end up in a situation like, you know, Mr. Bozeman, where the state's deciding where things go. It just always makes me cringe a little bit, you know, when we have to go off of those intestate statutes, because it's like, This isn't what the person wanted. We know it's not what the person wanted, but guess what? We're stuck with it.
Yeah.
We're stuck with it.
I guess people don't understand the options. Like you just described in that illustration with that woman that has no living relatives, but there's foundations, Carteret Healthcare Foundation, for instance, or schools or colleges, the community college here. Heck, the Swansboro Area Chamber of Commerce. You know, we can set something up for you there. We don't have anybody like that yet, but there are options out there. It's not just passing it on to another living human being. You could really spread the wealth and the love by giving it to a foundation. That's a good
no
point,
doubt about
Andrew.
It.
If you want to have that conversation with Andrew today, call him at Harvell and Collins, 252-726-9050. Go online to learn more about the law firm, harvellandcollins.com. They're here in Morehead City. Thank you, Andrew, and happy Thanksgiving ahead of time.